Hello everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of Coffee with Innovate Finance, a series of bite-sized interviews with leading experts from across industry. In these episodes, we explore a range of topics focused on developments across financial services and fintech innovations. I'm Ayana Vidal, Head of Policy and Government Affairs here at Innovate Finance, and I'm delighted to introduce my guest for today, Harry Motovu QC. Harry is a leading barrister based at Brick Court Chambers. He is also the creator of an exciting new initiative that Innovate Finance is really proud to support alongside other industry leaders, the Charter for Black Talent in Finance and the Professions. Now, as companies have been reviewing and renewing their focus on diversity and inclusion in the wake of the resurgence of social justice movements like Black Lives Matter, the Charter is a really key tool and resource to improve the representation of Black people in financial and professional services. And while much of the focus of the discourse is on this catch-all term of BAME communities, evidence shows that Black people in particular suffer from crude stereotypes and structural inequalities that leave them underrepresented in the most powerful companies in business. While the fintech sector is innovative in many ways, we should be live to the dangers of replicating this imbalance in the sector's workforce and take bold action to do things differently. Harry has a great plan to address this, and I'm really excited to dive into the discussion with him to find out more. So, Harry, welcome.
Thank you very much, Ayana. Delighted to be on the podcast. Thanks for having me.
That's great. So first of all, to kick us off, tell us more about the Charter and what inspired you to set it up.
Well, thank you. The Charter was inspired by my own experience. Before the huge debate on race began and became intense, particularly with the killing of George Floyd last year, my thinking about this really began about 6 months even before that, because I'm a barrister of 30 years standing. I've been a QC for 10 years. I specialize in commercial law, big litigation, big ticket litigation involving huge multinationals as well as smaller commercial companies. And in that world of intense high profile commercial litigation, I looked around and I saw that actually there are hardly any Black faces in the courts which I work in my chambers, in the chambers of other barristers who do this work, in the solicitors' offices of the law firms which send us work and with whom we collaborate. And indeed, in the so-called magic circle sets of chambers at the bar, which are meant to be the leaders in commercial law in London, of the 600 or so barristers who operate in that field, there are only five who have visibly Black heritage. And I thought this is seriously wrong in 2019 that is the case. And it's almost a duty for me, with my seniority, to start speaking out about that. And so that was the origin of my thinking. And then as I thought further about it, it occurred to me that what I've got to do is to make Black representation as big an issue as female representation has been seen to be in business and in the professions. And I thought, well, if people can take initiatives to improve gender representation and gender balance at the bar and elsewhere, why can't they do the same thing for Black representation? And on that basis, I looked at the Women in Finance initiative, which has been sponsored by the government and has had great success in moving the dial forward for gender representation. And I thought, well, let that be the basis for the work for a new charter for Black representation. So those were the things in my mind as I started out on this project. I could tell you a little in a bit more detail about the charter if we go forward. So working on that basis, I said to myself, the problem with the whole issue of race and in particular the whole issue of Black underrepresentation in these sectors, namely finance and the professions, is that people don't like talking about race in this country. They're embarrassed by it. And they find every way possible not to talk about race, and in particular to talk about Black underrepresentation or discrimination or problems involving Black people. The word Black is a problem for them. And so they come up with ideas of BAME representation, of the idea of ethnicity generally. But nobody focuses on Black underrepresentation. And I thought, we've got to stop this. There are initiatives about BAME representation, but nothing to do with Black representation. So I wanted to focus on that. I also wanted to focus on the problem of people talking in general terms about difficulties with representation, but not taking concrete, meaningful action to challenge themselves to change things. And so we had to move forward and move the dial on this. And so with those two ideas in mind, the charter developed. And the charter is based on requiring those who sign up to it to set targets for themselves to create a pipeline of Black talent throughout their organization, right up to the top of the organization. And in setting those targets, to develop an action plan to make sure that as far as possible, they work towards those targets, to make a senior executive accountable for the delivery of that action plan and those targets, so that it's not just simply an HR issue or a D&I issue, but that it is an issue of the main executives of the organization. And those executives must be accountable for charter delivery in any appraisal of them at the end of any year. So make it really accountable and make those targets really meaningful and really challenging. And it's in that way that we stop talking about the need to do something, however sincerely we may intend it, and actually do something. And it's when George Floyd died that the impetus for the whole debate and the need to do something suddenly captured the public consciousness. And I thought, now we can really drive the charter forward. And so that's what I've been doing since then.
It's as you say, there's been a moment, hasn't there, that's really catalysed interest in this. And absolutely. I think fintechs are a part of that process as well. A lot of them, especially last year during the pandemic and everything that was happening, felt like they wanted to do more. But obviously, if you look at the sector, you look at the people at the senior levels of the sector, founders, and how they attract funding, but also across the piece, there is a sort of, as I said, a risk that we're replicating the same problems that we find in traditional financial services. So you know, why do you think it's important for the fintech sector in particular to take this seriously and to take some action?
Well, I should say, first of all, Liana, that I know nothing about your sector, the fintech sector. All I can guess is that it's got the most amazing diversity within it. It's not a monolith like the legal profession or like the accountant's profession. There's not one single thing that you can say characterizes a classic fintech firm. As I understand it, you have big firms, established firms, as well as small startups. You've got this wonderful variety in your sector. And that, I think, is a point of great attraction for you. It's a point that allows for all sorts of different types of corporate governance, corporate establishment, and hiring techniques and pipeline development for your staff. And the other great thing about fintech that we all know is how innovative a sector it is. And that's the other great attraction. Given all that, fintech is the sector of the financial services industry which should be the most diverse, the most advanced, the most modern, the most welcoming of different people. And I would have hoped that companies in the fintech sphere would see this and would see this as the most wonderful growth opportunity for them. And the black population, young black people, I would guess would be as attracted to a career in fintech as they would be in many other careers, because of the innovative aspect of it, because of the technology and fast-paced technological development that's involved in it. It's a young person's naturally a young person's game, and all the young black talent that we want to get into these areas, these sectors, I would have thought would look carefully at fintech as a possible way to found a career. And I'd say that if fintech doesn't attract young black talent that is out there all around the country, but especially in London, I wonder whether it would be shooting itself, these companies would be shooting themselves seriously in the foot, because the other aspect of fintech is that it is a global business. And so the competitors of any fintech company are possibly companies which are not in the UK, but overseas. And so once you are competing and matching yourself against global competition, which has within it a diverse workforce, if you're not diverse yourself as a UK fintech company, sooner or later that will be exposed and the talent will go elsewhere. That seems to me to be a real risk that fintech companies face if they don't do something to ensure that their workforce is very diverse.
I think it's such a great point that you raise, Harry, because it's one of the key messages that we say about fintech at Innovate Finance, that it's a global business, it's a global sector. People move across the world to go and work in the startups that are going to be shaping the future. And I think it's really important, as you say, that we recognise that it has to sort of reflect the communities that it wants to serve, and to be as inclusive and as innovative as possible, you need fresh minds, you need fresh perspectives. One of the things that we work on here at Innovate Finance that we've spoken about is the FinTech for Schools program. And that's an initiative that we know a number of fintechs are involved in and supporting. And we're really glad to see that, because that allows fintechs to get in early, to influence and inspire young people, and not only help them to understand money and financial services and get their heads around how to make the best of their own money, but equally to look at what exciting careers are available in the sector and to see a role for themselves in that. And I think there's a really great process of outreach that can happen there, that a lot of fintechs are excited about working with schools, working with colleges and universities to really build through that pipeline of talent. So definitely all of that resonates.
I think that's absolutely fantastic, that initiative that you're setting up. And it strikes me, just listening to it as an outsider, that this is something that any fintech company can get involved in, whatever its size, however old it is, whether it's brand new startup or an established larger organization. And young people will be attracted to all of those sorts of companies, I would have thought.
Yeah. Absolutely. But so tell us a bit more about the reaction so far. You've got a number of supporters in ourselves and lots of other trade bodies in sort of London and nationally, and signatories as well from the sort of the legal profession and consultancy world. So tell us a bit more about the people that you've been working with and any examples of good practice. I know you shared a few key things that the charter is sort of pushing people to do, but any sort of insight that you can share from the discussions you've had with the firms who are already getting on board?
Well, thanks, Sianna. I think the first thing to say is that these are very, very early days. So the charter launched only at the end of October. And then we went into, the second or the third lockdown? I can't remember now. And we're still in lockdown. I feel as though I've been in the room where I'm sitting now for a whole year. So things have not moved as quickly as we would have hoped. So we're still very early days. Having said that, we've had wonderful support across the sectors, the financial and professional sectors. When we launched, our original major supporter was the Corporation of London. We have now got other major supporters who include London First, the lobby group for major corporations across London, which champions London business. And they are a fantastic supporter for us. We've got the Incorporated, the Institute of Chartered Accountants of England and Wales, the regulatory body for chartered accountants in England and Wales, as a major supporter. We've got the four Inns of Court of the Bar, the main and ancient authoritative bodies to which every barrister practicing in the country has to belong. So that's the Inner Temple, the Middle Temple, Gray's Inn and Lincoln's Inn. They are all major supporters of ours. And of course, Innovate Finance. So it's a fantastic spread across the professions and across the sectors, which is brilliant. They are supporters who will encourage their members and encourage other people to be aware of the charter and to sign up as signatories. Signatories to the charter who sign up to the particular pledges include our founding signatories, who are two of the big four accountancy giants, that's KPMG and PwC, and we hope that other major accountancy firms will very shortly join us. We've got two of the Magic Circle, big global Magic Circle law firms in London, Allen & Overy and Freshfields and Herbert Smith, so three of them. And we've got Barings Asset Management, one of the biggest and oldest names in asset management as well. So those are our founding signatories. And as we go forward, we are we've got other signatories who have signed up and a host of other people with whom I'm talking. Law firms, barristers chambers, quite a few of those, and other accountancy firms such as Mazars has become a signatory, and others are on the cusp of signing up as well. And what I would love to do is to get more in your sector to sign up, and slowly and I hope with increasing acceleration, as the charter becomes well known, as we finally emerge from lockdown and people start moving with their businesses, this will become a well-known initiative, because it is one of the very, very, very few initiatives which is focused on Black representation and on Black progression. And I hope that there will be a groundswell coming out of that. So you ask what good practice involves. As I say, Anna, these are early days, and so we haven't yet developed a sense of good practice from the experience of the charter. What we have developed is the need for those who have signed up to start getting their action plans together. And within those action plans, we expect to see an understanding and an idea of the sorts of things that companies want to embed in order to attract Black talent at the bottom, but not only that, to progress Black talent through their careers and within their organizations. And this is the difference between diversity and inclusion. It's not enough to have a diverse workforce coming into your company. How do you include them? How do you progress them? How do you give them a real understanding that if they stay with you, they will blossom in their careers, they will develop as people, and they can aspire realistically to leadership roles in your company and in the sector? That's inclusion. And that's what I think best practice should really focus on, just as much as recruitment, if not more.
Yeah. And I think that really plays to the strengths of the sector, because a number of firms, innovative fintech firms, are often founded with culture being at the heart of what they want to develop. Yeah. And what they want to progress. It's a really key part of attracting talent, as well as to having, forming a culture that makes people feel welcome, inclusive, that's open and transparent. And you know, it's fintech, but it's also the wider tech sector as well, of doing things differently and of feeling that team vibe and sense of everyone pulling together for a common cause, which very much matches up with the idea of getting a product, you know, scaling it quickly over a period of time and launching it and seeing how it's happening. So I think that that idea should sit very well and very neatly within the fintech sector. I guess the next stage is about that monitoring, as you say, and following something like the charter will help people to be accountable, to hold themselves accountable, and to monitor their progress over time.
And what you've just said there, Ianna, just takes me back to the very first thing that we were discussing. You know, why is fintech a sector which lends itself to diversity, which lends itself to initiatives like that? And what you've just said now about the way fintech works, the nimbleness, the agility, the innovative nature of it, speaks to all this absolutely brilliantly. And so I really hope that actually the fintech sector is going to lead best practice in recruitment and career progression to grow this talent that we find everywhere into fantastic assets for the sector and for the economy as a whole. I really hope so.
Sounds good. Well, we're really pleased to work with you on it, and hopefully, as you say, once lockdown lifts, we can do a few more in-person events and get people round the table to discuss this in more detail. But in the meantime, tell me what can firms do if they want to get involved? Where can they find out more information?
Well, there's a charter. Thanks, Ianna. There's a charter website, which is the way in and the way through. It's www.blacktalentcharter.com. It does what it says on the tin. And it's got lots of information there, which tells you why the charter has developed. And it gives you data, because data is core to this. It explains to those who are skeptical about the need for this initiative, why there is a need through data, not just anecdote, but data. And then the charter pledges are a web page of their own on that charter and at the on that website. And if you want to sign up, there's a very simple form, very short form. You just fill in and submit on that website. And then you're recorded, you go onto the register once your name is accepted, and away you go. And one of the things that you have to show when you sign up to the charter is who is the senior executive who's going to be accountable for charter delivery. You give us a copy of your logo, and that's it. It's as simple as that to sign up, and then the work begins.
Absolutely.
To get you all on board.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds really exciting, and thank you so much, Harry, for talking us through that, for sharing more of your insight, and hopefully in the future we can do more things like this so we can really drive that diversity in the sector that we're looking for. I'd like to thank listeners for tuning into the Coffee with Innovate Finance podcast. Do look out for our upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs. As always, until next time, take care and goodbye.